before I was away last week was towards the end of Perek Vav, and in fact I hope to complete Perek Vav this evening, and that was we saw last time when Noach is really told this is what's going to happen, and we saw the first instructions really for the basic details of the Teva. We discussed the Tzohar, what that was, a source of light, but what was the source of light? Was it more magical or miraculous, or was it more practical? And we're really up to those last few psukim where Hashem tells Noach for the first time, you won't be the only one who survives, but the animal kingdom will have a representation that will survive as well. And what I'd like to do is finish Perek Zayin, which Perek Vav, which coincidentally will take us up to the completion of the first Aliyah, for those scoring at home. And then, Imrit Hashem, will be able to pick up next week with the next stage of this, which is really the final stage before the actual Mabul. So let's begin. We're up to actually Pasuk Yud Tes. And let's read the next few psukim, and then we'll go back and try to flesh out the issues. Pasuk Yud Tes tells us, Umikol Achai Asher Basar, from all of the living flesh, which is obviously an implication of the animals, not referring to the family, the humans, which he's already been told who survive. Mikol, Shnayim Mikol Tavi Al Teva. Two, a set, a pair from all of them you should bring to the ark. L'chayos itach, to live alive, to keep alive with you. Zachar unakeve yiyu, right? Don't bring two males, don't bring two females. Bring one of each. Furthermore, the pasuk continues, me'of l'minehu. You'll bring, don't think you have to bring just two birds. Bring two of each type of bird. Bring two parrots and bring two all sorts of things. That's okay. I have to keep one of the first seats because I don't have any more.
Okay. Harry, you'll have to look
ahead. Okay.
Harry, page two, Harry.
So you should know that you could bring all of the different types of birds. Me'of l'minehu. Furthermore, min behema l'mina. Each different species of animal, because remes ha'adam eliminehu, all the creepy crawly things, each one according to their species. Shnayim mikol yavo, two of every one of these you should bring. Elecha to you in the ark, v'hachayos, so they will remain alive. And then the pasuk tells us, and what are you going to do with all these animals? How are you going to keep them alive? Chafalef v'ata, kach lecha mikol ma'achal asher ye'achel. You have to bring all the different types of foods that they're going to need to eat. Va'asafta elecha, you should gather it. Pa'ilecha, you'll eat it. Ulehem la'achla, for them and you as well. So this is the final stages of the instructions that first Noach was told to make the ark, and now he's told to gather the animals, and finally he's told to gather the food. Basically three steps along, it's two sheets, please. That's okay. That's the basic three steps of the thing, right? Simple. Make the ark. Who's going to go in the ark? And how's everyone going to live in the ark? What does the pasuk tell us in conclusion of the perek? Vayas Noach kechol asher tziva oso Elokim kein asa. Noach did everything to the T. He listened to Hashem. That's a pasuk that we saw at the beginning of the parsha, which we used as a proof for that opinion, which felt that Noach was taka, a great tzaddik. You see here, Hashem attests, halavai should be by all of us, that we did everything we were supposed to do. Okay? Just, not that there's, I don't think, too many great problems with these psukim, although there are some interesting nuances and nuggets to mine, but just for starters, does anybody have any questions, anything, any nuances, any sensitivities, any subtleties, anything that any of you picked up in those three, four psukim, which require perhaps some more elaboration or understanding? Any thoughts?
Okay, just one minor question. I'm not sure what the Kano so adds to this question.
Okay.
If you say,
excellent, Harry, you are machav into the Rishonim. Okay, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Not the Rashbaum, but others. There may be, but I'll confess I have no idea what it is.
It says Shnayim Mikol twice. Huh? Pasuk Yud Tes, it says Shnayim Mikol Tavi Al Teva Lachayos Itach, and And then again, it says,
well, I hear that, although I'm not sure if that is more problematic than, I guess one could almost argue, against the need for the whole Pasuk. After all, in Pasuk Yotasa tells us, Mikol Tavio Teva. So why does the Torah need to specify all the different animal forms, bird, fish, and animal? So, for that, I haven't seen, I'm not aware of Mepharshim who discussed that, at least.
Because it doesn't say fish, obviously.
Right. That's also true. Right. I was going to say, so the answer to that, I would say somewhat just simply is, Mikol doesn't always mean everything. What is everything? And therefore, the Torah felt the need to get into the specifics. But I would think, Ellie, that once the Torah felt the need to get into that, to those specifics of all the different, birds, etc., then, the fact that they're summarizing with Mikol Yavo Eilecha, I hear it, but I'm not sure, I'm not really sure that there's more to say on than what we just said, but I would think that it would all come together in one perception.
The Hachayos at the end, I think, means to procreate. I would think it means to procreate.
Well, we'll have to see what it means. Okay, let me reframe. What does it mean? Does it mean to live in the ark? Does it mean to survive after the flood?
That's right.
I have a general question. It says basically the animals are supposed to eat. How to treat the animals? Pigs, donkeys.
It does not say that. What does it say that? You're bringing food for them to eat. Yes. You don't eat the animals. On the contrary, no, you don't. On the contrary, I would say two things. Number one, as Gene says, that's correct. At this stage of history, there was no heter to eat meat. Number two, although along your lines, Alan, the kasha was asked. You didn't ask it, and trust me, you don't want to ask it because, as we'll see, the way that Eben Ezra describes the people who asked this as fools. So Alan would never have asked this. No, not by me. So, but there are those who ask in the vein that you're, in the spirit of what you're picking up on, not the people, but there are animals that are carnivores. So what did they eat? Were they ravaging up and down the ark looking for their prey? In the stomach, not. But if that's the case, then how did they survive? Okay? Don't say it's a good question, Harry, because Eben Ezra says it's a foolish question. But the Rashbam and Eben Ezra don't always see eye to eye. Okay? Anyone else before we see the Mepharshim? Yes?
I keep saying Liminehu, Liminon.
Yeah? Good?
It seems a little extreme.
Good. So that's also something that we will pick up on. Very good. Very good. That's also something that Chazal, actually, Rashi coming from a Gemara, picks up on that as well. Good. Anybody else? Okay. So let's start off by just seeing a simple Rashi, and then we'll get into some really interesting things, I think. Rashi on the first Pasuk. Not the first Rashi, I have nothing to say about that. The second Rashi. Shnayim Mikol. So, all species, two of each. Says Rashi, even min hapachus shebehem. Even from the smallest, from the least of them, lo pachsu mishnayim, there shouldn't be less than two. Echad zachar v'echad nekeva. Meaning, even if you have an animal, I don't know what was endangered in the time of Noach. But in other words, it's not just pshat, says Rashi, that the ones that are really important, that there's many of, and that the whole jungle, so to speak, depends on, they we need two. But nah, it's not such a big deal. Some little, who knows what. Says Rashi, no, it doesn't matter how seemingly unimportant an animal is. Whatever species were alive at the time of the Te'eva, of the flood, we wanted to preserve. We wanted to preserve, and therefore it doesn't matter how seemingly insignificant they were, we wanted to preserve them. Therefore you needed the bare minimum of two.
Rabbi, you said whatever species was alive then.
Yeah.
Because there is such a proliferation now.
Good, very good. So I don't have that on the sheet, and I'm trying to remember now who said it, but I did see in preparing for the shiur that there were some Mefarshim who said exactly what you said. They pointed out that this is, maybe it was a commentary on Rashi, I don't remember where I saw this, that when we look around, we have the assumption they made, like you said, was that we have more variations of animals because of the breeding. But they all, any animal that we have now, evolved from those animals. So I don't know how many they had, and we'll see in a few minutes a Ramban that says there were very many then. A very famous, one of the most famous Ramban on Noah we're going to see today. So it's a banner day for us tonight. But the bottom line is, apparently, and this is not my field of interest or expertise, although I did go to the zoo in Chalamoid with my kids. It was painful every second, but I was there. Not the part with my kids. But anyway. Nevertheless, apparently, the assumption, at least the summer before she made it, as you did, was that there are more variations now, but that whatever they had then, they were all saved. Okay? Now, let's move on to a more basic issue. Not so much a question, but just Mefarshim, as I say, fleshing out something that's implicit in the text. And that is, here we have the introduction of a whole new concept. Again, we take it for granted because we all know this. But again, that's, I think, been part of the power and the beauty of the shiur, is to kind of unpackage and roll back all assumptions that we make. We take for granted that Noah is obligated to save the animals. Why was that? Was that so obvious? And Noah didn't know it until we just read it, right? Who said that they deserve to be saved? Who said that they should be saved? And who said that it's Noah's responsibility to save them? None of that was obvious. In various ways, the next group of Mefarshim on your sheet really addressed that. So, first of all, an interesting question which is pointed out. I was wondering if any one of you would have gotten it. I admit, I don't know if I picked up on it either. But Rabbeinu Bachai points out that there seems to be a contradiction. I think the other Rishonim are also aware of this, but they don't explicate the stira, the contradiction. Let's just read the two psukim, and I'll give you one last chance. If you don't cheat, I'll give you one last chance to see if you can anticipate the contradiction that Rabbeinu Bachai raises. If you don't mind sharing, because I'm out of sheets. Okay? Take a look. First in Pasuk Yutes. And again, focus on the fact that Noah has to, the animals, right, this new concept of the animals being saved. In Pasuk Yetzes, we are told, Mikol hachai, Mikol basar, Shnayim, Mikol, two of every one of them, Tavi el hateva, Hachayos itach, Zachar nekev v'yu, right, bring them to the ark, male and female. In the immediate next Pasuk, Me'of lumineo, the birds, Mikol remes, the creepy crawly things, everything, Mikol, Shnayim, Mikol, Yavo Elecha Lachayos. What's the problem? Alan? You cheated, Alan. But you admitted you're cheating, and therefore we won't throw you out of school. Okay. Who else next? Say no. 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 That's not, I'm asking for a contradiction between the two psukim. Yotes and Chof. It's very subtle.
And
yes, excellent. Okay? Take a look at Rabbeinu Bachai. The Pasuk in Pasuk Yetzes says, Tavi el hateva. What is that understood literally? Yes. That Noah should go schlep them to the ark. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, it can't mean that. It can't mean that. Why? Shari Kosav Achrav, because in the immediate next Pasuk it says, Yavo elach alachios. There, which means, Kime atzvam yavo. That they would come themselves. So, but what does it mean? That they came themselves or he brought them? What did it mean? So, I could hear, but
it had to be Hashem somehow got them all to go.
It didn't have to be. In Pasuk Yetzes, it could have been that Noah went to go get him himself. So, no, but I said, but how do you understand and reconcile that with the fact that the first Pasuk says that Noah went to go get him? So Rabbeinu Bachai's suggestion, and again, I think the one that we just mentioned, suggestion could have been also a possibility, but what he says is, perhaps it means as follows, Avala kavana kisha amar tavi ala teva, when the apostle says that Noah had to, quote, bring them, it didn't mean that he went to go bring them. Apparently, on some level, they did come on their own, but you know, it was a balagan. I mean, I just was flying. I was on three different flights with two stopovers last week. I was flying all over the place last week. It's a balagan when they say, you know, okay, we're leaving. You know, that's with supposed trained adults. You know, and I'm on one of those airlines where they board by zone. I don't know who had that idea. But no one's interested in listening. Everyone's rushing. So you can only imagine what it was like with all these animals showing up. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, what's pshat? Shiyazor osan b'knisosan v'yishtadol b'hem shiyachyu. What it means is they came on their own, but if you would have just let them go, you would have mamash had a stampede. Right? They would, so once they came, he was the flight attendant. Okay, right? All the big animals over here, all the little ones over there. Zone 1 is going to board now. Zone 2 is going to board now. Remember to put your seat back up. He was the one who had to do all of that stuff. And he said the exit doors are on the right, and you're in a safety row. You know, Noah had to do all of that. Plus, and here the Ben Abachai gives us a little bit of a tease, which is going to be picked up by the Ramban. V'yishtadol behen sheyichyu. Not enough, Noach, that you just have a big ark. There's room for the animals. You got to make sure they get on the boat. And then when they're on the boat, you got to take care of them. Says Ramban even more powerfully. And again, Ramban doesn't ask the question, but I think he is sensitive. He's reacting to that tension. Tziva shi'as asek, third source on your sheet. He's told that he has to be involved. V'azor b'knisasam. When they enter the ark, he should be involved. Furthermore, v'yishtadol behem shi'yichyu. Pretty much the Ben Abachai then. Then he adds one thing. He raises the stakes. Kasher yishtadel b'nafsho. You have to be an animal lover. You have to take care of them with the same care as you care for your own survival. Now remember, this was not a leisure cruise to the Caribbean. I could only imagine the waves, certainly the first 40 days, right? It was Lebedek. If I was Noah, I would have been holding on for dear life to begin with. You know, we've all seen these pictures, you know, the fishermen, and they get caught up in the waves, and they're holding on, they get thrown this way and thrown that way. I mean, it was a big ark, but there was a lot of water too. You might have thought, no, get on the boat, you stay down there, you know, we'll be in first class, you'll be in second class. No, yishtadol b'hem kasher yishtadol b'napsho.
That's fantastic. I'm a mucker, by the way, for the fact that the sea was choppy.
No, I'm just assuming.
The water rising.
I'm just assuming.
I was thinking about from last year.
I said it then too, I think so, right?
I think the construction of the ark could not have been the way it's normally pictured. It had to have been
flat.
Flat. And therefore, when he was building it, he looked like a building.
I don't know. We saw a discussion a little bit about that, yeah, but... Well, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yeah. I don't remember who was at the Ibn Ezra then, or Radak. Yes, yes, I don't remember if we spoke about Dafka, the shape. But we definitely mentioned that it was constructed in such a way that it could survive. Yeah, that it could survive.
Like a building then, that people would wonder what it was.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It couldn't be the way this picture is supposed to, because then it needs a center beam that's 2 foot tall. Feels less impossible.
Well, keep that. I don't know. I don't know. But just hold that.
Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is with a flat bottom, it was probably.
Wouldn't have
been a choppy sea. It would have just risen.
I understand that, but you tell me. I mean, if you know, to me, I'm just thinking.
You're thinking wind.
I'm thinking the waves, the water going up and down. Right, but I'm saying, but assuming, right, no, in economy, I am imagining that this was not a nice, calm 40 days of rain. You know, you buy that CD and you put it on, the rain, some people like to fall asleep to that sound. 40 days of rain. I'm assuming that it was, you know, like much more wild. I'm assuming it was more wild than that. And the boat survived miraculously, scientifically, whatever way, but I'm assuming that it was Leibniz there.
Rabbi, it has to be a mess here.
Oh, Tio! As my kids would say. You know what that means, Harry? Harry, you're hip and young. Tio. So let's take a look. It's a perfect segue. Perfect segue. Take a look at the Ramban. This is the most famous Ramban, I believe, on Noach. Says the Ramban Azoi. So now we know that this big boat, we heard about the proportions last time, right? And you, Joel, was our mathematician. You computed 2 football fields in one way, 4 stories the other way. It's huge, right? Humongous. Humongous. Says the Ramban, now that we see how much went into the ark, not so simple. Yadua, he says. Ki achayos rabos mo. There are a lot of animals. Umehen gedolos kamo. kepilim. There are some big gazunt animals like elephants. Furthermore, v'haremes haromes al haaretz rav ma'od. The creepy crawly things aren't so big, but there are a lot of them. I mean, there's countless versions of spiders, and this one and that one. Gam me'of ha-shamayim, the birds. Minim rabim ein lahem mispar. You can't even count how many birds. I didn't put it on the sheet, but he quotes a famous Gemara that in one certain area of the world there was 100-something species of kosher birds, let alone all the other birds. I mean, that's just in one little part of the world how many birds. There's so many types of birds. And not only was he bringing all the animals and all the birds and all the creepy crawly things, but then what else did we see? He had to bring not only so many of them, again, so that we could perpetuate the species, but furthermore, kasher tasof lekulam ma'achol asher yochal l'shana tamima. Could you imagine the sheer volume of food? It was a humongous operation with enormous amounts of things. Therefore, says Ramban, a tremendous, famous chiddush: Lo tochil osama teva hazos v'lo kiyotzei ba. Says Ramban, you would have to fit all of that in. You would have needed a teva at least 10 times the size of the one that's described. As big and gigantic as it was, if you consider everything that went into it, it was not even close to being big enough. It was not even close to being big enough. So how did it work? Aval hunes hichzik muat esamarba. A small little boat was quote unquote, a small little boat held all of this life force. Frexachakasha, what's the next line of Ramban? Take a guess. What's Ramban going to ask? Now that we realize that there's no way the ark in its dimensions could have held everything, and it was clearly a miracle that it did, what's the question? What's the need for Noach to build? Listen, it was big. Why build it so big? If any, either go all the way or do nothing. Why do so big, but clearly not big enough? That's exactly the Ramban's question. And now we have left not just from important pshat, but to profound and timeless hashkafa. Says Ramban, what's going on? Vim Tamar, you could ask. Yasana ketana, you should make a little boat. V'yismach al neze. Was a miracle then, it'll be a miracle now. Why not? Ro Hashem Yizbarach Lasos Gadola, says Ramban, no, Hashem deliberately made it a big, listen, the table was big, it wasn't nearly big enough for what it was needed for, but it was certainly big. Says the Ramban, you know why? He gives two answers, each one is very important, each one is profound. First answer, says the Ramban, is Kedesh Yiru Osa B'nei Doro. If it would have been small, it would have been done in a day, done in a week. He wanted that he should be working on it all year round until the flood came, so that people would see him, he'd mow, and they'd be so surprised by it. Bisapru alad, and they'd say, hey, Nate, what is going on, man? What are you building? You know, it's a lot of boat there for just, you know, a beer and a little fishing on a Shabbos afternoon. I mean, what is going on? Oh, you know, I'm building that boat. And then he would tell them, Yidabru, and he'd say, you know, God told me, you better repent. So, answer number one says, Ramban, ein hachinami. You're right. For Noah, and for the animals, and for the food, what he ended up building wasn't nearly big enough. So, he could have just built a small boat. Why did he build something so, so big, even though it was insufficient? Not for Noah, not for the animals, and not for the food, but rather to hopefully inspire someone else for tshuva. That's answer number one of the Ramban. A very important answer, but kind of a localized Noach story answer. Second answer that Ramban gives is the more broadly important and impactful answer. The ode, says Ramban, Osu oso gedola kedei lamayet b'neis. Because they wanted to make the miracle as narrow and as small as possible. Ki kein haderech b'chol hanisim. Because when it comes to miracles, shebetorah, b'neviim, biblical miracles, La'asos ma'ashabiyat odom. La'asos, this could be like an important tagline for Mamash Hashkafas HaChaim. La'asos ma'ashabiyat odom. La'asos, we got to do what we got to do. Vashar bidei shemayim. So Noah built nonstop for a year, and that's how big he could do it in a year. I think that's exactly. Even though that's not what Hashem told him. Hashem didn't say build for a year and then stop. But Hashem gave him proportions, says the Ramban, that that's how much he could build in a year. And therefore, even though it was a great miracle, but let's be honest, if you would ask the average person on the street, and I dare say the average person in Shul, who's never seen this Ramban, I think they would assume that it was an enormous undertaking, the boat was humongous, and everything fit in. You know, it was such a miut of the nace that we've almost forgotten that it was a miracle. Says Ramban, that's part of the point. We shouldn't completely forget the chesed of Hashem, but we always try to do our hishtadlus. That sounds cliche, but it shouldn't be. And it's very, very important. We do what we got to do. The rest is in Hashem's hands. A beautiful line here. It's mamash a tagline. Lasos mashiach lasos. Bashar yidei bidei shemayim. There's a man in the shul. You know, it's easy to say, or it's easy to learn. There's a man in the shul who is not in the best of health. And whenever I see him, whenever he's remotely able, he comes to shul. And I always ask him, how are you feeling? Just, you know, I have to be honest with you, it's like mindless. You see a person, how are you feeling? You know, it's like, I don't even think about it. I just say, how are you feeling? And what does he say all the time, Joel? The rest is, he says, what do you mean? I got 7 diseases and I was not. Mamash with a smile. I'm here. Hashem is worrying about the rest. It's unbelievable, imuna. Unbelievable, bitachon. Not that many people could live with this Ramban. But that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we have to strive for. Okay. Now, let's move on to a very interesting Rav Shimshon Ofel Hirsch. Rav Hirsch is pointing out something which we know already. And we'll see even more developed in the next sources beyond. But we know, we saw this in the beginning of the Perek, when Hashem gives the condemnation and the Gzar Din, we saw from Chazal that it wasn't just like the animals are going to get the patch by accident, that the animals themselves had corrupted their ways. So says Rav Hirsch, a beautiful line, when the Pasuk says that you should take... And again, let's read the pasuk. Mikol chai, mikol basar. So we translate that just generically. Mikol chai, from every living creature. Says Rav Hirsch, it's a double entendre. There's a deeper meaning to that word chai. What does he mean? Take a look. According to our sages, all of those that have the vigor and energies of life, and what's the important point? Whose vitality has not become effete by the degeneracy which had also been brought into the animal world. In other words, what? It's a big word. I looked it up on dictionary.com. It's an important maramakum for you. Dictionary.com. Very important. Yes, it's a real word. That's why I even know how to pronounce it. Effete. It means that when one's vigor and energy, exactly the words that they have here, have dissipated. When one runs out of steam, when one runs out of energy. Meaning, what's the Rav Hirsch saying? The animals, by and large, corrupted their ways. We've seen that from Rashi before. Right? So we saw that earlier, right? Says Rav Hirsch implicitly, what shot? And this is, I think, is true for human beings as well. I don't want to digress too much, but when people live immoral lifestyles, there's a certain excitement and rush in the beginning, but eventually, whether it's psychological or somewhat spiritual, you run out of gas. You see certain people that look like the eyes are glassed over. Those are often the people who are just living fully hedonistic lives. It saps the life out of you. You think you're living, it really saps the life out of you. Says Rav Hirsch so sharply and profoundly, Mikol Chai, which animals are you going to save? Those that are still living. What do I mean living? Those that are still vibrant and vigorous, i.e., those that are not on the path of self-destruction through their behavior, i.e., just like only the tzaddik human beings got saved, only the tzaddik animals got saved. Equally so, and he points out a nice diuk, Zohar unekeva yihiyu, the pasuk about the animal says, male and female animal, they will be. It does not say, Zohar unekeva tavi, that you should bring them. And what is he, medayek? Their characters are to be still the pure, undisturbed, uncorrupted male and female. In other words, again, he reads a double entendre to the pasuk. The simple pshat level of the pasuk means you got to bring in a male and a female. Says reverse that, and it would have said bring tavi. What's that? You? Because this, well, let's pick the elephant. This Rivka the elephant and this Yankov the elephant, they weren't just alive, the first part of the pasuk yichyu, because they were living a moral elephant life. But moreover, Zachar and Akeva Yiyu, the male was living the way a male should live, and the female was living the way a female should live. Now, I don't know about Rav Hirsch, but I'm convinced that that's certainly not pshat in the pasuk. But it's a beautiful drush. It's a beautiful drush that the pasuk, from beginning to end, is not just speaking about the physical reality, bring a male and female, but a reality that's a spiritual one. Now, what is that Rav Hirsch assuming, though? What he's assuming is that somehow Noah knew, or somebody knew, which were the good animals and which were the bad. So even though he doesn't quote it, but this is what he's referring to, he says, according to our sages. No one says what he says. That's his own chiddush. But he's referring to a famous Gemara. This is the Gemara that I have in the next source on the sheet. The Gemara says as follows. It's actually based on a pasuk that we'll see next time, Yemir Tashem, Zion Beis, where the pasuk says, Mikol Behem HaTehora. And again, there, the pasuk in the pasuk, as you're all familiar, is that kosher animals we're going to take seven of, not just two. But the term is Tehora, pure. So the Gemara says, pasuk in Daf Kufkas in Sanhedrin, Amr Shimon Bar Nachmeni, Amr Rabbi Honason, May osam shlo novda behem aveira. Tahora here again, double entendre. Doesn't just mean a kosher species with the split hooves and eating its cud, chewing its cud. It means that it was Tahora, it lived the pure life, Mr. and Mrs. Elephant. Menayoda. So that raises the question. Noach may have been a good guy, but did he really know? How could Noach have known? How did he know which was the elephant, which was living a nice moral, you know, monogamous life, and which was the animal that was running around? So that's part of why, yes, that's good. But just what does the Gemara say? Something fascinating. Amar Rav Chisda, she'eviron lifnei ateva. And again, this gets back to what we saw before. Did he bring them? Did they come? We'll see in a second. But according to Rav Chisda, he'eviron, he brought them. Noach brought them in front of the teva. Kol shel hateva kolatato. Anything, somehow, if they wanted to go in there, there was like a spiritual force field around the ark. If they could enter the ark, b'yadua, we knew shelo na'avda b'hem aveira, that they were pure. Kol she'ena teva kolatato, but any time they couldn't get into the ark, b'yadua she'na'avda b'hem aveira. Now what's fascinating about this Gemara, so what that implies is something which we never would have gotten from the Chumash, that whether that Adam brought animals to the ark that didn't make it on. And I would have always thought, just from the Pashup around the Chumash, he went around the Amazon, and he went to the Sahara, and he went to the Native American places, and he went to all the places of the world to get all the animals. And he brought 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. This Gemara has a little bit different picture. Finally, Rabbi Abohu seems to have a different opinion. Amar, me'ot en hevion, me'aleyen. He says a different kind of miracle happened. Only the tzaddik elephants came. Oh, so go down. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that these two answers parallel what we just saw are the two psukim. Did Noach bring the animals? Did the animals come on their own? And I think that's definitely the simple or likely pshat. And that makes this Gemara a little bit more grounded in pshat than it would seem on its own. However, take a look at Rashi on our pasuk. I think we'll notice something interesting. So again, this is why it's why so often we try to see a Medrash inside or a Gemara inside before we see what Rashi does with it. Take a look. Now that you've seen the Gemara, tell me what Rashi does with that. Says Rashi, Pasuk Chaf. Me'a'of l'mineu, exactly what was it Alan who said a few minutes ago, that that's why, and I think, I can't remember who was it, one of the ladies I think it was, who said to me in the beginning, how come the Torah keeps on mentioning l'mineu, l'mineu, l'mineu? It seems to be redundant. Somebody said it. Take credit. Come on. So why did he keep on saying that? So Rashi says, because it wasn't just teaching a zoological point, it was making a theological point about the tznius of these animals. It's referring to those who dafka only mated with their own species. And didn't corrupt their ways. Now, if you just stop there, what is he clearly basing himself on the Gemara, Rashi? The Gemara we just saw. And then he continues. Again, he doesn't ask the question, but at this point you could insert into the blank the Gemara's question, and how Taka did Noach know which ones were the good ones? Says Rashi, Ume'elehem bohu, they came on their own. V'chol shateva kolatato, hichnispa, and anything which the ark would receive, he let them stay. He brought them into the inner parts, the living areas of the teva.
That's a combination of both.
One second, let's think. What I was getting at, it was what Alan says. I think if you read Rashi carefully, and I don't know why he does it, and it doesn't necessarily excite me one way or the other, but it seems just fascinating, Rashi combines the two answers of the Gemara. It seemed to me that there were, not that there was a huge machlokas, but seemed there was machlokas in the Gemara, which as we, I think, correctly point out, really might have its bearing, its ultimate source in two psukim. And yet, Rashi seems to either be oblivious or maybe intentionally looking to harmonize. Rashi says, no. No, don't read that much into it. Rather, it all happened, Rabbi Avohu, and who was the other, Rabbi Chizda, it's not a machlokas. First they came, then the ark had to decide if it was going to accept them. Yes?
Rabbi, the thing that's telling to me by all of this, what we're just discussing, is the fact that how do you understand Schar V'Onesh by animals?
Good.
I mean, this is...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, with human beings, we can understand the claws for everything, but animals? I mean, whatever they have, Hashem is somehow given, but Schar V'Onesh implies
yep.
there's a certain moral line of some kind.
Yeah, it's a very good point. It's a good point, yes.
I have difficulty with understanding what we just learned in Rashi
okay.
for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's under the possibility of oath, it doesn't refer to the other animals.
Okay, but I'm assuming that that's Lavdavka, because it's the same construct on the other ones.
That's maybe a minor point. Then it says, Osom Shedovko B'mineham, those animals that cleave to their own kind. And they came by themselves. But then it says, and if the ark accepted them, then they stayed. If it didn't, it didn't. But if it just says that those that were pure are the ones that came by themselves, what does it have to say that the ark, if the ark accepted them, then they would come in? We already know from the first process that they must have been pure because they came by themselves.
So I think it's a fair point, and that's why I would have kept the Gemara, so to speak, as two different opinions. I think, though, in order just for Rashi to make sense, at least internally, you got to put a period where you haven't put a period.
Yeah, the punctuation in Rashi in the art scroll is
what?
After Darko.
Period.
Right.
In other words, the first thing is that any, but meaning that that is.
And they came by themselves?
No, but that's not a continuation. Meaning, that's a big picture. Let me. That's a big picture. Meaning, the big picture Rashi's telling you is who are the ones that are going to get on the ark?
Those that stuck by the.
Period. Okay. Now, the shail is, how did Noach know who those were?
They came by themselves.
Meaning, all animals came by themselves. It was a beauty pageant. They all came by themselves. Those, and it's all the period in Rashi. If you without that period, it makes no sense. You're right, but that's you have to assume the period. You have to assume the period. Now, I don't know who put in the period. Did Rashi put in the period? Did Rashi put in the period? I'm not sure the history of Rashi's periods. Someone will do a doctorate on it, and they'll become famous. Maybe someone already did a doctorate on it. I'm not aware. Okay, let's go on. We have more time. Good. So yes, please.
From reverse, the inference that I can make from this is that. Obviously, there were some animals that didn't make the cut, and therefore could lead to...
The Gemara, I'm saying, Rav Hirsch, thank you for reminding me, by the way. So, we saw Rav Hirsch first because he stands alone. But as I was pointing out, Rav Hirsch is clearly assuming he's working off of the Gemara. Okay, yes,
right.
Yeah.
So, there are certain animals that could be extinct. That would definitely support that possibility.
Very good. Interesting. Very, I didn't think about it. Very interesting. Okay, Gene is our resident expert on that topic.
I'm not sure that I understand how that would go. Are we suggesting that...
In other words, what
the dinosaur, every dinosaur...
They were immortal. Maybe they were...
Well, I just wonder. Let's take a step back for a second. I guess the first issue which is being raised, And I kind of forgot about all those, evolution issues since Bereshis. But Taka, it's worth mentioning. I guess, one question, which I'm curious again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you have these books at home, so if you're not sure offhand, maybe look it up for us for the next time. I just wonder if any of those Rabbanim and scholars who deal with those, major...
They don't deal with the flood being the cause of the...
extinction. They don't? No one suggests that?
Because the flood, if we all agreed that the flood was within the 5,760 years or whatever, the dinosaur fossils are millions of years old. And then, of course, you have, the rain and the water.
Right. Don't people make those suggestions? Not serious.
Some people say that God killed them just to there never were dinosaurs.
Right, no, put them there to trick us. That seems to me to be highly implausible.
But
what about that? But I thought, I'm not holding in these topics. I thought there were some out there, serious Talmid Chachamim who had made the, obviously it's only speculative, that someone made the suggestion that maybe they were wiped out, and maybe the explanation of the carbon dating is that's based on the usual degradation that we're familiar with. But given the cataclysmic events of the Ark, which were singular in history of mankind, that gives off that effect. Now, I'm not convinced that's right, but I thought there were those who said it. Okay. Now, if there are those who say it, and if they're legitimate, so then that we could, I don't know if they say it, but what Ellie and Alan are pointing out is we could add a little Tom to it, which is, even though, again, it still begs the question, really? Just them? Are they the only ones? But maybe... Right, maybe there's other pieces we don't know about. But it could be that maybe that's part of the explanation. I don't know, anyway, as far as, if you ask paleontologists, did this type of guy, did they mate with this, I don't know if we could know. I mean, how would they know, frankly? I don't know. It's a very, I mean, these are very tricky, there's a reason a lot of people don't want to go there. There's a reason you can get in, but you can't always get out. I have a friend, I'm not sure if it was because of evolution and things like that, but I have a friend who's very, very philosophical, very intellectual, and when I first knew him, very, very firm. But he asked a lot of questions, and he didn't get out. Very sad. So, these are complicated issues, there's no question about it. Fascinating, frankly, but complicated. Okay, back to the text. So, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, we were told about the third and final stage. So we've already learned about Noach building the ark. We just spent now the last half an hour, 40 minutes, talking about Noach bringing in the animals. And what was the third and final stage? Noach, you got to take care of the animals. You got to feed them. So what did the Pasuk tell us in Chaf Aleph? Ata kach lecha mikol ma'achol asher ye'achel. Bring all this food, v'asafta, and gather it to you. Now that's a little bit redundant. Kach all the food. I don't think anyone noticed this. Kach all the food. Get all the food. V'asafta, and gather it. What do you mean? That's what you already did. You got the food. What's got and gathered? Take a look at this forno and the other mefarshim here at the bottom of the page. Kach mikol ma'achol. So I think he's implicitly reacting to that double language. What does it come to tell us? Ma'acholim shonim leminim shonim. This was not, this was not your father's army. This was not where they just threw the slop down and said, everybody eat it. Today we're all eating brownies and tomorrow we're all eating, grits. And we're going to all... No, this was made to order. The elephants like bananas, and the chimpanzees like apples, you'll get apples. This one likes my tuna fish. And the stomach, there's a dog somewhere who was getting filter fish. You know what I mean? Everyone got their particular food that was good for them. Or something. So based on this idea, we can understand where, even though we'll see, as I alluded to at the beginning of this year, the Ebn Ezra is very critical, but the Ebn Ezra says there are those who ask. Take a look at the next sheet. So if you're telling me that every animal got what it's used to eating, so who are we worried about now? Which animals couldn't Noach bring food for? The carnivores, right? Says the but the Ebn Ezra says the toei ruach yishalu, right? The mistaken ones, the foolish ones, have asked. Ma achol kol of dores? What do all the predator birds eat? Furthermore, v'chol behema, or those animals, are you like the lion? Shlo yechek imi basar, right? They eat other animals. And I just want to mention parenthetically that, was it two summers ago? Or three? I think it was two summers ago. Or three, I can't remember. No, three summers ago. You know about my whole family life. Impressive. Oh, you were guessing. You're right. Oh, I thought maybe you knew. Three summers ago, my parents went on a safari to Africa. I've mentioned it different times yet. And, you know, the beauty of that, aside from the natural beauty, is they could tell you we're going to show you X, Y, and Z. But that's all based on past experience. There's actually no guarantees. It's totally fluid. If the animals that they expect to be in a certain place at a certain time aren't there, when the day you're there, they're not there. Plus, even if they're there, they could just be schluffing. Or they could be, I don't know, picking daisies. Or you could see some action. And my parents, at least two or three different times, they were as close as we are to each other when they saw survival of the fittest. Oh, man. I mean, my father said at one point, I hope everyone's eaten dinner already. You, other than me, I have not. My father said, you could hear the bones cracking as it was being chewed. He said it was scary, a little disgusting, but just to see the sheer force and the power, it was awesome. So there are animals, you just throw them a little corned beef, that's not what they want. They want to pounce. They're dough race. That's what they are. So that would have been really insane. It was exciting enough in the teva. Could you imagine if that was going on? So says Ebn Ezra, give me a break. Zos eno shela. It's not a question. Ki mishla yimsa basur, yochalos ha'esev, opriyetz kesher yerev. Trust me, the lion, the first day is looking for flesh. The second day is looking for flesh. It's getting a little hungrier. Eventually, the apple tastes, that's fine. The apple tastes just, yes, yeah. Didn't. So that's the Shiloh that they locked it. Huh? Good. So either they were locked up, maybe they were in or as you both, that was part of the nice, that was part of the miracle.
Isn't there a medrash that we learned in nursery school that
Noach got hurt?
He got a chunk taken out of him.
That was because he was late bringing them the food.
All right.
Yeah. Before he ate. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a medrash. Okay. Well, you have to rush. I mean, what, you're worried that you bring supper late? Oh, okay. How old are the students?
Five.
Okay. A very powerful kliyakar. This kliyakar I never knew until today, and I'm so excited to share it. A great kliyakar. Take a look. The pasuk says about Noah, kach lecha, you should take this food to bring to the animals. Says kliyakar, really beautiful. Lecha doesn't just mean you should take, but rather mashma mishelcha, only food you own. Lo mishalacherim, and not anyone else's food. Now, what's the big deal, you'll say? Continues the kliyakar. Kerei shal yachshav Noach, because Noach might have thought, Hare hayom o'mochor, any day now, the rains are going to come, yamusu kulam, they're all going to die, umamonim kala, and if I'll just leave the crops, and I'll just leave the apples in Yenim's barn, what's going to happen to it? It's going to be destroyed anyway. What's this called in English? Rationalization. I might as well steal it, in essence, because or else it's going to go to waste. Not because I'm a ganav, because it makes sense. Therefore, Tamar Lomer says, Kliyakar kach lecha mishelecha dafka. You should take by yourself. Now, why? Taka. Isn't it a good svara by Noach? So I have a second reason. But let's first see what the Kliyakar's reason is. Says the Kliyakar something powerful, which beautifully works off of what did we see before? The Ramban. Kedei lahagdil hanes. It'll make the miracle even bigger. After all, sh'afa pishikafiyat teva, bottom line, naturally speaking, lo yaspik. I mean, how much could Noah have actually had? Was he so rich? Ki im l'cha levad, if it's only from Noah's own warehouses and property, harivadi lohaya l'noach, Butaros. I mean, how, you know, what was Noah stocking up for a rainy day? You know, how much could Noah have had to feed that many animals for a year? It's impossible that Noah owned that much. And therefore, he only brought what he had. You know, honey, what's in the freezer? You know what I mean? Any leftovers from Shabbos still? It's Wednesday, we finished the children's already. You bring what you got. Bring what you got. And that will make the miracle even greater. Mikamakom al tzad hanes. Yishlach Hashem es habracha. And then, Taka, the Kliyokar, ends at the end. He doesn't quote it, but he connects back to the same thing we saw from the Ramban. Also, Chateva, Shebeder Chateva, Tachil Oscha, Labad. Because Alder Chateva, how many people could the Teva really have held? Not nearly enough. Al Saranez, Tachsek, Kobalichayim. So the same theme that we saw from the Ramban, that as big as the ark was, it was clearly an obvious miracle if it held everything. So too, you know what I mean? Like, I get another trip, my parents have been on a number of cruises. So one of the exciting things, if I've ever been on a cruise, I haven't yet, but if you want to take me, I will come. Is you could take a tour of the kitchen. Take a tour of the kitchen. The vats for the soup are as big as this room. You could climb into the vats for the soup. They're cooking with such a volume. It's enormous. So says Kli Yoker, I mean, how much could Noah have brought? That's for 1,000 people on a trip for a week. Imagine all representative living creatures for a year. Exactly, a man, right? Even more than Jews. How much could they fresh? How the tea room was open 24/7. I mean, how much could they eat? Is it possible? Is it shayach that Noah could have had so much food on his own? Certainly not. Maybe with a year to plan, he could have been raiding everyone Goldberg's farm and this one's dairy. I mean, he could have. But says the Kli Yoker, no. You just bring what you got, and Hashem will magically, so to speak, multiply that. Why? Who could you suggest? I think the Kli Yoker stands on its own. It's a beautiful Kli Yoker. It's so important. An Hashkafa. But I have another suggestion. Assuming the Kli Yoker is right in his diuk, it means that Noah could only take his own. Why? His answer was, Laharba Sassanes. I have another suggestion. Anyone want to guess?
The whole issue was that this took over a period of time so people would do tshuva. How could they do tshuva if they are guilty of what Noah is now doing, robbing their fields and taking
the so I wanted to put that the Baruch Shekivantem, this is exactly what I wanted to say, a little bit closer to Alan, but basically the same idea. Namely, let's think about it. What was the underlying sin of the whole thing?
I'm saying,
you both were saying it. Chamos. How could Noah... Forget for a moment even how he'll be makar of other people if he's got one hand in the cookie jar. But how could Noah, so to speak, look himself in the mirror, or if you will, how could Hashem justify? I'm a saving Noah if the whole year before the flood he's stealing. So I don't know why the Kli Yoker didn't give that answer, but to me that's just as good or better. I think that's a very powerful explanation. But the Kli Yoker is also beautiful. Kli Yoker is also beautiful. Okay, last thing before the end of the shir. Just take a look at the last pasuk again. The pasuk, the perek ended. V'yas Noach kechol asher tziva osa Elokim kein asa. I think it was Harry who pointed out. It seems to be redundant. I think you pointed it out. Kein asa is redundant. Says Ramban. V'yas Noach she'asa es hateva v'asa es hamachal. Why did it say it twice that he did it? It's referring to two different things. One is that he listened to Hashem building the ark. The second is that he listened to Hashem by doing all the things with the food. But derech hakosov lemor, and you should know, says Ramban, I'm giving you a biblical literary principle. Keep this in mind for Chumash. We're only in the Perek Vav. But there's a lot of prakim left to go in Torah. Says Ramban, I'm telling you a rule. The Torah often will say something like v'yas and v'chein asa. Why? For emphasis. Levar ki lo hipil hadavar mikol asher tziva. Noach did not leave out anything. Now she is commanded. So in essence, it's almost two different answers or explanations of the Ramban, although they're certainly not in any way contradictory. Bottom line is, they're not necessarily contradictory, but more or less, I would say, two different explanations of the Ramban. Why the double language? Either it's referring to two different things, or a double language in the sense of the spirit of emphasis. Okay? Okay. I'm going to have to take a phone call, but just so you should know, you keep your eyes open for the bulletin, okay?